go. Hello, I'm Tyler Bratton. I'm recording this video on the day of the release of Honestly Nevermind, Drake's new album. And what I thought was fascinating was this was basically a complete surprise album release. And I got myself asking, what can we learn from surprise album releases? And I think this is something that then took me down a little bit of a path of like, what is the history of surprise albums? If you are looking at artists today, not just as creators of music, they're talented marketers, they're talented business people, and I think no matter who you are, whether it's personally in your career or whether you're working in a company, there's actual lessons that we can take away from artists who are at the top of their game, successfully marketing, creating products, and spreading through culture in an impactful way. And Drake, obviously, one of those people. The album is Honestly Nevermind. I'll be honest, I'm not too far through it, just to listen to a couple songs this morning. Very sing-songy, Drake sounding very reflective, emotional. Maybe if need be, I'll do a little bit of a reaction or a review of that. But I think what I wanted to do first was sort of hop into a little bit of the history of surprise album releases. And this was a great article piece. I'll share this article in their sort of resources and links, and it dates all the way back to Radiohead in 2007. And I think what they sort of did, it's like 10 days ahead. And this was interesting, which to me, which is even the time frame of what considered a surprise album has changed a lot. And we've now gone from 10 days was a long time, and now we've gone to literally no notice at all. And then in other cases, we've seen a rapper, for example, Kendrick Lamar, drop an album right before a big performance. We've seen 24 hours notice, and sort of different ranges of that time. And I think one of the lessons there is also in the sort of age that we're in, the culture that we're in, the time frame of everything is so condensed, and everything is so quick moving. And even a huge release a few weeks ago, Kendrick Lamar, seemed so far along, and everyone has then rolled through that album, is then processing new content. So the amount of information processing we're doing as a society and as a culture is very quick. And I think albums don't necessarily have the lasting power that they do or that they used to. And so then along with that, surprise albums then become a really valuable way to actually release, fit within a cultural moment, make sure that it makes an impact, and then create a little bit more excitement around it compared to trying to build up to a release. And I think that's something else that I've sort of taken away from this, which is it's almost like a fail-safe to do an album release in a surprise way, which is if you are building up to a big release and then that album doesn't do the numbers that you hoped. And that often happens in today's world. We're not buying physical CDs anymore. And it's a huge difference between the millions of records sold, or the battle between Kanye and 50 Cent, and then how that just created so many album sales of it. And then so artists are trying to protect against the performance of their album, and doing the surprise sort of gives them a little bit of a cushion. I think that cushion allows them to say, hey, this is a surprise album. So we don't, the numbers are, it makes sense. We didn't promote it in advance. We didn't spend a big budget on marketing. And then I think it avoids that lead up to an album release and then a little bit of a flop or not getting the reception or the excitement. And just truthfully, I think in the day that we're in, the ability to have an impact when so much of our listening behavior or consumption behavior is fragmented, I think it's much more difficult as an artist, even with someone who is as big as Drake. And so I'm interested, obviously the articles are coming out, the reviews, the reaction videos will happen, there'll be a whole sort of a response to the surprise album. But I think overall, there's a lot less than, again, for me as a child, Kanye West was releasing an album and it was like, Mom, we are going to Masonville Mall in London, Ontario. I don't care. It's a 25-minute drive. We have to drive into the city. We're getting the CD on the day that it's released and I will go and listen to it. And there was nothing else available. There was no consumption that we have. And so, again, I think just a lesson for me is sort of how fragmented we are as a society in the kind of content that I digest. And then because there are so many options, releases don't necessarily become as big as an event as they necessarily used to be. And this might be a little bit of a jump, but what I'm seeing has been, I'll use the sort of parallel of what we see in stand-up comedy, where a comedian or a podcast will be created and then what actually drives a lot of growth or adoption of those podcasts is the clips that then are taken from it. So we've seen that in music. It's actually the clip that then gets pulled into TikTok that has created a bunch of videos. That is actually what gives the album's traction, gives sort of penetrates into culture and drives some of the growth compared to an entire album listening experience. And I think that's just a really sort of fascinating change that we've seen. And generally, I don't think people often are in the same way listening to albums as a whole experience before. I know that's something that has changed with me. Only recently, a few albums, We by Arcade Fire is one of them that sticks out, where I actually want to listen from start to finish because it's more of a music experience instead of one-offs that some of these artists are creating. So I'm already on a rant. I can feel it. I apologize. I love this stuff very much. I'm a music fan, a music creator at heart. A couple other things that I didn't know that I thought were really interesting is Beyonce is really sort of credited with the sort of surprise album, even though Radiohead did it. Beyonce was the sort of a pinnacle of this, and you know, I hate this term, sort of broke the internet, but in 2013, just sort of dropped this album, not just the album, but a music videos with every song. And because of that, it then just created a huge release, and then, like I said, cemented her position in the world. And one of the things that I thought was fascinating, or a question here, is can you do a surprise album as an upcoming artist without as big as fan base versus being a popular artist? Like, I do believe that Beyonce here, that Drake, that J. Cole, that Kendrick, they have the luxury of doing these, and it's not the luxury, they've worked very hard for it, to do these album releases on surprise, on last minute's notice, because there's an inbuilt audience that loves them and will listen to it and will hear about that, and as soon as that album drops, they will listen, digest it, they will share it, they will talk about it, they will tweet it, blah, blah, blah. You are an upcoming artist and you don't have that established fan base. I guess maybe the first question is, should you be releasing an album? That is part of the growth trajectory as an artist, so it's pretty much required. But a surprise album when you are upcoming or with a small fan base, that could just be crickets, you know? And so I do think this surprise album is also a luxury that these artists have. And I think it speaks to, when I look at specifically marketing and software companies and everything that I'm part of, it's like there are companies that hit a threshold from brand recognition or knowledge or awareness of that company where they can do things. I'll use even like, for example, product releases within Microsoft or Google ecosystem. They can just surprise drop that, make that announcement, and it's immediately adopted by millions, if not billions, of people. Whereas if you're a new company without that brand recognition, without that audience, you are having to not only build the product and feature, you are then needing to drive awareness, adoption, pay for marketing, pay for sales of that product. And so I think there's a parallel here with artists and having inbuilt audiences, as well as companies having ecosystems of products that that are already being used that then they can just drop features in. We saw that recently with Apple, where you know, some of the articles were around like destroying 15 other companies because they added features into the Apple ecosystem that before were standalone companies that they worked very hard to just make that a viable business or a growing business. And Apple could wipe them out with just a small couple feature and code releases into the system. So I thought that was really interesting parallel that I've sort of thought of and learned and observed over the last little bit. And then there's another couple of nice insights around this, which are there was some good album releases that were surprises. Taylor Swift's If You're Reading This Too Late, It's Too Late by Drake. And then the bad, which I think what they talk about here, which everyone remembers, is like U2 basically forcing themselves into our Apple Music library and everybody wanting to get there. Everyone wanted to get it out of there. And so there are examples of this working well for artists, and there are examples of in sort of the culture or the way that it was released that don't necessarily work so well. So I think there was a couple insights in this article. Again, I'll share this. A couple other ones that stuck out to me here were J. Cole, a huge, you know, big fan of J. Cole, and sort of surprising, again, sort of like that excitement that can come from surprise or novelty compared to predictability is a huge driver for the reason why I think companies are, not companies, but artists are doing that. There's another great article here sort of talking about the 10 greatest of all time. And just like how they did it. And so again, we're going to share these articles and, you know, check these out. I do think there's some interesting lessons around it. Beyonce seems to be a huge driver, and Frank Ocean with Blonde, one of my favorite, you know, my favorite albums of all time, was a surprise album. And I thought that there was an interesting point. And this was, there was a time where albums, if they, when people knew that they were getting released, there was a lot of work from hackers and people who were trying to then get early access to the album before it was actually, before the final release came. And Frank Ocean with Blonde had sort of said that there was going to be a date, and then actually released it a week earlier to avoid that, to avoid reviews or leaked versions or everything that. So we've even seen the impact of technology changing release dates and making people adjust their strategies for releasing music to try to avoid leaks or getting lower quality sounds of audio or lower quality versions of the songs. Just generally, I'm looking at some of the artists who have done it, and they're the big names pretty consistently. The Carters, as in Beyonce and Jay-Z, David Bowie, Radiohead, Eminem, Miley Cyrus. These are all huge artists with these bases who were then capable of doing it. So I'll do a look here for you know, maybe a little review of Drake's album to see what it is. I already hear some crooning on that, but I do think there are some really interesting lessons, and I hope that you got a bit out of this album. I'm trying to think if there's anything else on my side here, but overall I just thought this was a little bit of a fun example of how good artists have become at becoming businesses and marketers and just companies of their own, who are finding different strategies to promote their content, to create products, to make money, changing how they, you know, how many songs they put on an album. So much has changed, and one of those tactics that we've seen pretty recently emerged, but then over and over again, has been this surprise album. And this video is a little bit of like, what can we learn from surprise album releases? I don't know if I see, you know, any companies sort of have these reveal days where they drop new products and it comes out of nowhere, and you realize that they've been incubating them in research labs for years. And with that becomes the excitement of it. And so I think we're seeing some parallels of that here, and look forward to seeing sort of the future of albums, future of marketing, the future of music, as we continue to change our consumption habits, continue to tune into Spotify and all these things, and all sort of operate in our own sort of vehicles of our own journey, where we listen to the content at different times based on our mood, our energy, what we want, if we want video, if we want audio, if we want text, all these things that make our world so much different than it used to be, and then seeing how these incredibly intelligent, talented people adjust to that. So this has been Tyler Bryden. Appreciate you tuning in, and hope you learned a little bit about surprise album releases today. I'll share some links and resources. If you're on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. If you're on LinkedIn, do a comment, send me a note. Thank you, as always, for checking this out. I really do appreciate it. Bye.